This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
So it's a beautiful day to be a small business owner, right? So there are a lot of joys in being a small business owner, right? One joy is, you know, actually making designs and being the artist behind the designs and creating for so long. Another amazing joy is when people start buying your clothing and there are people around the world who are repping your clothing and you're like, oh my God, Australia, my designs. Yeah, Australia, Germany, Sweden. Yeah, South all these Korea. Countries. South Crazy. Korea. Yeah, all these people just wearing your design and it's in physical form. And you're like, oh my God, it's like real. There's another joy of being a small business owner that I've been experiencing for, you know, pretty newly as a small business owner. Is getting your first batch of like samples and swatches, which if you don't know, because I didn't know until yesterday. I thought that I would be getting my first ever samples, which would be, you know, what my designs look like on the clothing that I made it on, right? But actually, I got my first ever swatches, which mean that I see what my designs look like on the fabric color I chose and the fabric I chose, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's on the actual clothing that I designed. It's just like on a small swatch of cloth. And it was such a joyous day because imagine this. I'm designing on my little iPad, cooped up in my home for the last 5-6 months, right? I'm going back and forth with just 4 designs. Mashnoon is my biggest critic and also my biggest supporter, telling me what I need to fix.
Yeah,
so I keep going back and forth and I'm trying to perfect it, right? And I'm also trying to design something that I would wear. I'm trying to design something that other people would wear. And I'm going back and forth with the manufacturer to see if this is feasible. And then imagine after 5 months, after 6 months, finally getting your swatches in real life, seeing what your designs look like in real life, holding it, and also seeing like a digital illustration be transformed into like an embroidery, like actual fabric cloth, right? It was a joyous day for a small business owner, you know? But yeah, I'm really excited for this new collection to come out. It's very different from what I've been making in the past. This is more like me. Just be excited because this is a whole new journey. I'm really excited to tap into this. Labyrinthapp.com, if you don't know, I have my own small business website and I'm really excited. All right. Anyway.
All right. Thank you guys for coming back, tuning back, listening back. This is our podcast, Difficultish. It's a podcast hosted by 2 amazing Bangladeshi artists about South Asian narratives. My name is Mashnoon.
You never like talk about what the podcast
is just about. Said it was a podcast about different South Asian narratives. You weren't listening this time.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I heard the gassing up part. That's it. My name is Mohua.
And today, before we talk about what we're talking about today, rate us, review us, all that stuff, follow us. You know what the drill is. If we don't have 1 million reviews by the end of this episode, podcast is done. Podcast is over with. Thank you guys. Guys for listening. Hope everybody had a great Eid. Hope everybody is, you know, enjoying this raising in temperature worldwide. You know, no more puffer jackets. Other than me,
well, in Australia.
I'm still busting out the puffer jacket. I do not care.
In Australia, it's cold now. So.
Do we have any Aussies listening? Any Aussies?
Well, Aussies.
Aussies. Hello.
Oh, are you trying to do an accent?
Hello. So today, what are we talking about today?
So in this episode, we are talking about budgeting, because if you guys didn't know, we made a part one to this where we talked about finance tips. We talked about just advice in the financial world that we just never received in the South Asian community, or just received in general, just because it's very taboo or our parents didn't know too much about it. And we're still like in a generation where we're kind of like teaching ourselves. I think it's, you know, irregardless of what culture you're from or what background you're from. I feel like a lot of people are teaching themselves about finances, besides maybe like wealthy white people. But in the first part, we talked about, you know, 401ks, we talked about taxes, we talked about how to just handle money. So listen to that. That's episode 85. And now we are talking about part two, which is budgeting, because we got a lot of questions about just how to budget when you are in a South Asian household, but just like in general, how to budget, because it took us a while to, you know, learn how to handle our money, save it, especially now that we are older. But again, it takes a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
So we are here now after many years to kind of give you some of our wisdom.
If any. I really like last episode. I feel like we're saying some good stuff, even if we're not the most knowledgeable about like taxes and 401ks. I think a lot of us are not that great with money because a lot of our parents were not that great with money. And a lot of our parents weren't that great because they didn't have the opportunity to be great. They were just trying to, you know, be regular American citizens and just like trying their best to figure it out.
They were just trying to survive.
So listen to the last episode if you didn't already.
And at the end of the day, we are not experts. We're just trying our best. We're just cute little like teenage adult 24-year-old babies. So we're just trying our best to like help you with some of the knowledge we have. But, you know, again, we've had a lot of trial and error. So this is just some of the things that we've learned along the way, you know?
Yeah.
You feel?
Yeah. I'm an expert on money, honestly.
Right.
You know what I realized during Ramadan?
What?
I really don't have to buy like 4 coffees a day. Like, isn't that crazy?
What a concept. Isn't that's that crazy? Wild.
If any of y'all are listening,
it's almost I've been telling you that from the
If
day
any
one.
Of y'all listening, you know, drink 3 to 4 coffees, I'm here to tell you, like you don't have to. You know, it's like.
But didn't you go back to drinking that many like yesterday? Like, didn't I see one in your hand?
I had one yesterday. Relax. You're being so dramatic. Okay, I had one yesterday. It wasn't that great. And I was about to buy a second, right? I was about to buy number two, but I was like, you know what? Like, let me chill. I don't need it, right? Like,
yeah. SpongeBob. You do this thing where you don't finish number 1, 2, or 3, and then you buy a fourth one. So like, what's the truth?
No, I'm like SpongeBob when he went to like Sandy's home and like he didn't have like his helmet with the water. He was like, I don't need it.
His protective gear.
But like, he was dying without it, right? That's me.
Right.
But yeah.
All right, let's get started with the bad habits that you grew up with money.
Oh man, where do I start?
Let's start off with the roasting session.
Quick background.
We'll roast ourselves.
Quick background. I have been and still am very reckless with money. I have a very very toxic relationship with money. I feel like Mo and I treat money very differently. Maybe it's like more similar nowadays, but especially back then, I did not give a crap about money. I said,
"Wow,
I got a $60 check. I got a $60 check in the bank. I go buy a new pair of shoes for $80 and sit in overdraft for 2 weeks." I did not care.
That anxiety would kill me.
Yeah, no, that anxiety it thrilled me. I was living life on the edge. No, honestly, like, God bless, alhamdulillah, like, I did not get in any, like, serious trouble or accident at the time when I was so reckless with money, because Lord knows I would have not been okay. But yeah, man, like, I got my first job at 16, but even before then, like, I used to sell stuff and, like hustle in high school just to make, like, an extra $20 and go to McDonald's and buy my friends McChickens. That's what we were doing Fridays. And once I started working,
the Bangali hospitality really came out in you when you were 16, man. Where you're buying food for other people.
Man, it's so crazy
when you didn't even have money.
That's the thing. Like, I think about that so much nowadays, man. Like, I think early on I inhabited the mantra of like, oh, like, do good things and good things will happen to you. I did too many good things. Okay. I was too nice to so many people that did not recognize how nice I was being to them. And I didn't even do it for like, oh, like, maybe he'll do something for me in the future. I just did it because I really just enjoyed like seeing other people smile, but it came at my detriment early on. And I still haven't learned too much from that, but
it's such a like Bangladeshi hospitality thing, because like, like, think about all of our parents who maybe didn't grow up with that much money in America, and yet they were still inviting so many people to their houses every single weekend and just, like, giving them literally the houses off their backs to these guests.
Yeah.
It's just so wild.
Bro, I remember, like, this one Friday I worked for 2 weeks. My paycheck was, like, $85. And, like, I think the next day, me and three of my guy friends went to get sushi, and I covered the whole thing. 85, like, just right there. That's wild. And then I lived on $0 for 2 weeks. And I don't know why. It was just, like, the thrill and the excitement and joy of, like, making people happy. Even if it was just for a moment, it made me feel really good. Was it a good decision? Absolutely not. If you have $80, please don't spend $80 on your friends. They are really not going to remember that in, like, 3 hours, okay? They will get over it. It's not worth it.
I think at that age, we just want to be liked and
accepted. Man. Yeah, exactly. You just want to be recognized of, like, oh, like, Mashun, he's 16 and he bought a sushi. He got money. I did not. Yeah. I did not at all.
He did not have money.
But I remember I applied to work at SeaWorld, you know, SeaWorld Resort, Orlando, Florida.
All right. Didn't you work there for a day?
I just went to the orientation. I was supposed to work at, like, the penguin cave, like the cave with, like, all the penguins. I was really excited, honestly.
Very fitting.
But I didn't work in it because you had to wear, like, this big ass, like, because it was really cold in there. So you just had to wear this big tubby jacket, and it was so, like, ugly.
Oh, you could have just worn your North Face puffer.
I could have. And the pants were just so ugly, and the shoes were like these, like, rain boots. I was like, this not drip. So yeah, I just went to the orientation, I took that check, and then I went to, like, Tampa and spent it in, like, a day. So anyways, a lot of bad habits with money. I was really, really reckless with money. There were a lot of things that I wish I started earlier that I absolutely did not. And time flies when you're 18 and you think that, like, oh, I don't got to worry about this and that. And, like, yeah, you really don't. But, like, don't completely single everything out and be like, oh, I'm only living for right now. Live for right now and spend your money on things that are worth the money. But I think a lot of us, like, when we start making a little bit of money, we get so, like, oh, I got money now. I'm gonna do this, do that.
Yeah.
But you were the opposite, right? You started getting money, you're like, I'm not spending a goddamn half a penny.
Yeah, actually. I don't know what it is, because me and you kind of had a similar upbringing where we were taught to save and, you know, we were taught to kind of, like, be frugal. I took that to heart and I really saved, like, every single cent I got. I started working from 15. At 15 I was, like, buying concert tickets and stuff, but, like, from 20-ish I started saving all that money and putting it mostly in my savings. And it was such a simpler time back then, because, like, I was so young. The only thing that I would be looking forward to, like, spending my money were, like, trips.
Mm-hmm.
Like, me going to California or me going somewhere. And I didn't really have anything else to spend it on. So, like, if I did save money, I'd be like, all right, maybe 1 week I won't save as much money because I got to buy my plane ticket or I got to get all these activities for the trip. What a simple time back then. But I don't know. I think with that upbringing, like, we both had money trauma. We both had spending trauma and spending guilt, where we were taught to save so much money. And then when we do spend it, we get, you know, get in trouble, or, like, we get guilty or whatever it is. But the opposite happened for us. So, like, I feel like as a method to cope, you would spend all your money.
Exactly.
And that would be your way of, like, yeah, like,
yeah, I got
I can
it.
Spend my money.
Yeah.
You can't, like, I'll show you, you know? But for me, it's like, with my spending guilt and my trauma with money growing up and, like, the financial insecurity that I had growing up, I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep it safe. I'm going to, like, hold it close to me just in case anything does ever happen, because now I'm scared to spend any of the money that I worked so hard to get, you know? So it's still very hard for me to get over that spending guilt and, you know, get over the financial insecurity that I had growing up, because I still think about, you know, the circumstances that I had growing up. I still think about how I can use money for more good instead of spending it on, you know, food or whatever I spend it on now. I just constantly think, like, oh my God, no, this money would be so good if I spent it on Bangladesh and saved 500 kids, you know? Like, my mom always does that, obviously with good intention. Like, I'll literally go thrifting one day, and, like, her way of saying, like, no, don't go thrifting and, like, spend that money on clothing that's used, she'll be like, yeah, if you used even half of that, you could have saved a whole village. And I'm like, why can't you just say, like, just like a normal person, why can't you just say to like save the money?
Yeah, I remember like same kind of situation with like why like some brown kids will like turn out really sneaky is like if you have like strict parents, you either turn out really good or like just like sneak out all the time. That's the route that I went. Like I was like, I feel like the way that I was taught about money was just really toxic. It was like, if you don't have money, you can't do anything in life. And that was just like,
you're poor for
that was just drilled in my head. And like at one point when you're that young, you like don't want to hear that. You want to be taught about it in a more like loving, like admirable way. Not like, you better do this or this is going to happen. So that made me be like super duper reckless with it.
But they were also speaking from like their negative experiences.
Exactly.
And like they didn't know how to verbalize it, you know? So like we understand where they were coming from. Maybe the execution was kind of wrong. But now we are the way we are because of, you know, we were done with.
I was,
and now we're talking about on a podcast.
Yeah, I was not budgeting nothing. I was so reckless. Probably until I was like 21. Like until I met you. Until like I had like some direction in life.
Wow.
I was like, okay, let me like maybe I should stop, you know, spending, you know, $60 at Chipotle. Like do I need
yeah, what were you spending $60
on? What was I spending my money on? Let me think.
Freaking getting the extra guac, getting the nachos.
I was spending a lot of money on food, not gonna lie.
Yeah, you were getting food outside every day.
Yeah, I just love food, man. It's not even like on like fast food or anything. I just like love restaurants. I love like dining in experiences. I love trying new things. That's
why I remember I told Mashun, I was like, yeah, you would not survive a day in New York, because he does this thing where like he walks into every single coffee shop or bakery that he sees in New York, and like he doesn't even go in to just like browse. He'll go in and like actually want to buy stuff. And I was like, a single pastry here, like a croissant, is like $9. There's no way that you can just buy one on every single block.
Yeah, I'm like a freaking
You're sick in the head.
Kid.
Thank God you fixed that.
I'm a freaking like kid at a toy store. Like I'll just like walk past
and
something.
And he genuinely gets mad at me. He genuinely gets mad at me when I say no, I don't want a croissant right now.
Nah, yeah. I'll just get a little whiff. Like, ooh, what's that?
No, you don't even do that. You buy the whole freaking store.
No, because I used to work at a Barnes & Noble cafe, and like I used to bake the cookies. And like, bro, when the cookies are being baked, I will never forget this scent in my life. And I think it started from there. I think when I started understanding how to smell like pastries from I was
that was like, that was like me when I worked at Red Mango, and I would like go to the back fridge and eat the cookie dough.
That's different. You're freaking
all right.
Why are you all in the back doing that?
So that's where the cameras weren't, you know. So anyway, so what are some of your healthy saving habits now?
So I didn't really start saving money until the last like 2 to 3 years. Like I still remember like certain benchmarks that I've had. Like I remember when I had over $1,000 in my bank account, like, and I feel like I cried that day. Like $1,000 that I made. Like one time I got like a refund from college, and it was like $1,600.
It wasn't even your money.
No, but
it was
but
from college.
Exactly,
it wasn't
that,
even your
that I didn't that I didn't incorporate into like my own success. But when I made over $1,000 and I saw that, I was like, damn, like that's crazy. Like I'm gonna go to freaking Paris.
And it's probably just like the money that like you've been spending on college too. It's not even like they were giving it to you for fun.
Yeah. And so like there were like different points in my life where I've seen these benchmarks, and every time I see them, I'm like, man, like this feels better than like buying like double chicken and guac at Chipotle. Like, like this feels good right now. You know, like I remember when I hit like 2,000, 3,000, I was like, I like this. This is feeling good.
Yeah. I remember taking screenshots every like single benchmark that I had, because I was so proud. Like, you know how you hung up your diploma? That would have been me with like my savings and checking account.
Like even like with like the money that I've made from my books, I kept it in like the book account for so long just because I like seeing how much I made from the books. Like I like seeing that.
I keep telling him to just deposit it. I keep telling him to deposit it because it's like, why would you want your money in another app? Because
you see, like, damn, I made that from books. That's crazy. Like, and I made like whatever. So I think that's the first step, is is aligning yourself to like really, really be proud of yourself when you reach these benchmarks. I saw like somebody posted on like their story today, like some quote. I'm gonna butcher it, but it was like, yo, like every day, please spend a minute in the morning just really being proud of yourself if you've come a long way from where you were. Like, if you only have like if you have like $600 in bank account and you came from zero, bro, that's still like, I don't know. I just really started being proud of myself. Like, damn, I got $1,000. Mm-hmm. I got $2,000. And I'll never let those like little joys and excitements surpass me. And there are points where you forget about it, but it's just coming back to thinking like, man, like, I know the more I get, the better I feel, the more motivated I am for the day, the more, not comfortable, but like, I'm just like, I'm at peace a little bit more. Like, you're at peace.
Yeah.
And when you're at peace, yeah, you can do a lot more, you know, because you're not thinking about
It's such an underrated feeling because, like, especially growing up with so much financial insecurity and just not knowing, you know, how your next day is going to be. And then finally being an adult and having a little bit more money than what you had growing up, it brings such an unmatched peace and like just a little bit of security. Yeah. And it makes you feel like you're doing something right. And I don't know if people can relate to this if, you know, if you didn't grow up with financial insecurity. But for me, especially, like, it is such a nice feeling to not have to worry about like, oh my God, I have to like stress about doing this tomorrow. And like, I have to do this extra tomorrow to get more money. Like, I have to count up all the money I got, you know, like, it is so, so nice.
And I feel like, like nowadays, a lot of us are taught like, oh, you gotta risk your money. You gotta be uncomfortable. You gotta blah, blah, blah. Which is true if you're trying to do something entrepreneurial. But I think a lot of us just like, with like our given backgrounds, with who our parents are, a lot of us just really want to feel that like comfort of like security and just like knowing that like, oh, like, God forbid something happened, like, we're good. Like, it's okay, you know? So that is definitely like the mindset that I've tried to adapt is like, even if like I don't see myself like investing all my money into a retirement fund so like by the time I'm 60 I get $1 million, I don't care about that, right? Like, I'm the same way that like a lot of like Gen Z is, which is like, yeah, like, I'll kind of plan for the future, but for the most part, like, I just want to focus on now, especially like, how can I make as much money in the next like 2 to 3 to 4 years? That's what a lot of us are focused on. And but it still is very peaceful to just have a little bit in your bank account, just so like, you know that like, you're good. You have the space to like experiment a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's like talk about some of the budgeting.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get specific.
Because we got a lot. We got a lot, right?
Yeah.
But we're just teenage babies that are 24 years old. So like, we try our best, 12. You know?
Yeah. So I'm a drop some gems. I'm gonna tell y'all, because I'm a big spender, right? But I'm a smart spender for the most part. Not with coffee.
I don't know about that.
No, that's why I said like some stuff I am, some stuff I'm not. And I think a big topic.
Y'all, he's been bragging so much about his like Delta flight that he has. Like, he's been talking about should I wear a suit? Should I wear a suit? Should I bring a briefcase on my flight?
I'm flying Delta tomorrow. Like, I'm flying. Like, and I'm gonna tell y'all how much I paid for that flight, but later on, y'all gotta wait. So there's stuff that so I think a big topic of discussion is really understanding what is worth its value and what is not worth its value. We can go like back and forth. I'll start off. First thing that you have to keep in mind the value is clothing. A lot of y'all be on payday going to goddamn Forever 21 buying God knows what.
Hey, Shein.com.
Then you go across the street, you go to Zara, then you go across the street, you go to the goddamn Crocs store, wherever you want to go. You be dropping a bag on what? On what? A t-shirt? A $60 t-shirt? It says whatever it says.
Live, laugh, love.
Live, laugh, love. Don't forget to smile. I hate men. Anything. Listen, I've been trying to shop all of last weekend. I did not buy a single thing. I tried on some stuff that was pretty cool. I did not buy a single thing. You know what? You know why? I put on a jacket. It was $80. I said, I know that this is like cheap for like a mall jacket. I can get this at the thrift store. I can get this at the vintage store. I'm gonna preach to y'all real quick. I know a lot of y'all are not into thrifting like that, into vintage stores like that. But I promise you, it makes absolutely no sense shopping at the mall. I do not get it at all. Especially if you live in a city that has a plethora of thrift stores. I don't in Orlando, Florida. We got like 2.5.
Also, a lot of people, I understand if you don't have as much money, if you're lower income, I get you buying from fast fashion. I get you buying from cheaper stores because that's all you can afford for the most part. But my only problem is, because I used to do the same thing for many years and I stopped at the start of the pandemic, and I realized that when I did have lesser money and I was buying from Shein and fast fashion brands, I was buying a lot more. Like, I would buy every week or every 2 weeks or every single event, because that's what fast fashion is. You only buy for one event. Essentially, it's bad quality clothing, and that's why it's mass produced and you can buy it so constantly. But now that I'm thrifting more and I'm spending less money, people don't thrift because first they think it's used clothes and it's not as good, and second because they think it's more expensive. Mm-hmm. When really thrifting is more sustainable and you don't buy as much because you find your own style. You're not buying every week to every 2 weeks. You're actually saving more money. Now I don't care about like fitting in with everyone else and buying the trendy things. And now I actually buy things that are more up my alley, and I buy maybe like every season or, you know, whatever it is. And I save a lot more money.
And what,
it's so much better.
What you got to keep in mind is that like you go to Zara, you buy a pair of jeans for $60. Those jeans are not worth $60. Like you can't right. sell that for $60. You could sell that for $7. You could sell that for $8. It's not worth it. You go to a thrift store, you buy a pair of Levi's jeans for $20. You could sell them for $15, $16, $17. And it blows my mind. Like the second you buy something from fast fashion, nobody's gonna buy that. Nobody's gonna buy like a used Zara jacket for over $12. So it's like, why would you just, you know, I think about it as like, if I had $1,000 to invest into my closet, I'm gonna go to a thrift store, because that $1,000 I spend, it's not going to waste. If I needed to sell it, if I run out of money, I could go to a thrift store and take all that stuff, and I will get my money back, if not most of my money back. Whereas you take a bunch of, you spend $1,000 at Zara, that's like 12 pieces. You sell that for $10 each, you made $120, $150. It's literally not worth it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you have some weird type of mindset towards thrifting, first of all, what's wrong with you? Second of all, just go. It's so much better for your
it's
money.
It's an acquired taste.
That's one thing that you really have to keep in the value of like how much you're spending, because it's really not worth it.
Mm-hmm. How did you start budgeting your income? Like, how did you start saving your income instead of just like keeping it in your checkings account and just like spending it on random stuff?
I think I was quite extreme with how I save money. And I think you are like, you're kind of extreme with it, but like you plan things out a little bit more than I do. So like you could talk about that next. But like for me, when I get paid, I wrote down before the year started, I wrote down what my monthly bills are. I spend X amount a month on bills a month. Right. I put that money aside. I don't even have that anymore. I even incorporated, okay, I'm going to give myself.
Where do you put that into your savings?
No, just like in my mind, I'm like, you know, if my paycheck is $1,000 a week, right? Or $1,000 every 2 weeks, that means I make $2,000 a month. If my bills are $600 a month, then I just keep the mindset that like I only make $1,400. Like, I don't even say that I made $2,000 a month. I say I made $1,400 a month. What am I going to do with $1,400? So get that out of the way. I used to be the type of person that like, you know, just avoided bills. I was like, oh, like I'll pay double it next week, whatever. I don't care about late fees. Please just pay your bills. Like it's literally not that hard. Just get it over with same day. One thing, if you can avoid having a bill every like 5-6 days and just put it all on one day, get it over with, you will feel a lot better. And it just makes things a lot easier. But for me, nowadays, I think about what I have to pay for bills. I put that aside. Then I take how much I make in a month. And I literally put like, goddamn, 80% of it into savings. Like I give myself the bare minimum in my checkings account to spend. Because, you know, say I give myself $50 a week. if I spend $40 by Tuesday, I only got $10 in the week. Like, I do not care. Like, I'm not going to transfer from my savings unless I, like, really, really, really need to. But, like, if it's, like, late at night and I only have, like, $6 and I want, like, an Oreo McFlurry or something, I'm not getting that. For what? I only got $6. I'm broke. I got $6.
You'd still get it. You'd still get it somehow. You'd probably tell me.
Yeah, like, I'd probably ask you. I'd be like, yo, like, you think it's okay? Like, you think, like,
I just, sometimes like, I need it, I'll, right? like, know the tone of his voice. Like, sometimes Mashun will say that he's craving something so bad, like, but I know he's not going to get it. But he'll, like, keep repeating it. So I'll be like, all right, I'll get it for you. And then he'll be like, no.
Yeah, I'm a silly boy. I'm a silly boy. But I think a lot of the time when we have to face reality of, like, are we disciplined enough to, like, create a whole budgeting plan and do all this and that, I face reality and realize that I just need to be extreme with it. And I just dump it into my savings. I do not touch it. Of course, I have, like, guilty pleasures that, like, I need to spend money on. But I've reduced a lot over the last couple months. I don't eat as much, eat out as much at all anymore. Like, if I do, it's, like, on lunch when, like, I'm on my break or something. But I really, like, you like, I don't even eat out that much anymore. Like, you see it.
Yeah, it's true.
And yeah, man. I'm extreme with it, but I know you're a little bit more calculated with how you budget.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more calculated, as you might say.
That's what I think just
the
said.
First thing.
It's it's like I just said that, and you're like, yeah, you know, I'm a little, I don't know if you knew. You listen to me. No, I think
the
I just
first
said.
Thing that I would say to do is, if you can, set up automatic payments on all of your bills and credit card payments and whatever it is, because sometimes, you know, like what you said, we are like, oh, we'll pay it later, and then we get a late fee, and then we have to pay the $30 extra late fee, and it's just all crazy, and it's very hard to organize sometimes. So for the most part, I have everything set on automatic payment, so it just gets taken out of my account automatically every single month. So for example, kind of mentally, I know that my rent is going to get taken out of my account at the first of every single month, the first day or the second day. I know that my credit card bills and my phone bills and everything, they're going to get taken out the second week-ish. So you can do that mentally. I usually prefer to write it down, even though I've kind of been bad at that. I usually write down maybe like on a calendar, look, okay, these are the bills that are going to get taken out of my account. This is the money that I'm going to have left over. And if it's also better for you, I recommend apps like QuickBooks or Mint, where you can actually track your expenses and your spending. I know a lot of apps like Chase and bank apps, they also track your spending. So that's a great tool to have to kind of see visually what your spending is going to, you know, it's kind of like in a pie chart. So it shows you if you're spending more money on food, if you're spending more on, you know, excursions or whatever it is. It's a really great visual to have. And I think it helps you a lot in the long run. But on top of that, since I don't have a stable income for the most part, like Mashun, I don't have a 9-to-5. It's kind of, you know, unstable every single month. And I just don't know exactly what to expect. I, for the most part, put a lot of my money into savings. So, for example, if I get $1,000 one week or one day, I'll put that money, I'll put maybe $800 into my savings, or maybe I'll put like $500 to pay off my credit card bills, and then I'll put like $300 into my savings. So I'll only really have like, what, $100 left if I, or $200 left into my checkings. But it really depends on you. So I usually put a lot into my savings and also paying off my credit card bills. But for example, if I have a trip coming up, if I know that I have a big expense coming up, I kind of know mentally that I have to keep a little bit extra in my checkings account. So for example, if I have, you know, my Europe trip coming up or something like that, I'll have a couple extra dollars in my checkings account so that I can buy, you know, food on my trip or hotels or whatever it is. And that's also something mental that I do, but I also prefer to write it down sometimes where I know something is coming up, so I know I have to save money for that.
I think something important that, like, we just always have to keep in mind is, like, a lot of us are saving money and we don't even know what we're saving for. And a lot of us are told to save and we don't even know what we're saving for, especially when, like, your early 20s. Fact. A lot of us are not thinking about houses. You're probably thinking about cars. A lot of us are not thinking about houses. A lot of us are just thinking about, like, Like, what am I even saving this money for? And I think that's the first pillar that we have to conquer, is like really having something. Like, I'm saving my money because I want to move to New York in the summer. That's what I'm saving my money for. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't have a specific number, I'm not giving myself a specific number. I'm just telling myself, save as much as you can. Like, even if it's way too much that you're saving and like you're inhibiting yourself too much at this point, it's fine. Whatever. After I move to New York, then I can realize like, oh, I have like extra money saved. I'll spend New York. Whatever. I think giving yourself something other than a house, if you don't want a house, a lot of our parents are like, save up for a house. Listen, buying a house right now does not make a lot of sense. Housing is absolutely ridiculous. Unless you make $16 billion a day, then you could think about buying a house. If you're not doing that, if you're a little silly putly like the two of us, probably don't want to buy a house right now. So have something that you're saving for, you know? Even if you can't put a certain dollar amount on it, have something. Like, have something. Do not save money just out of boredom, you know?
It's important to have some values and priorities with what you want right now. So, for example, last year or a few months ago when I went to Paris, I, you know, spent 3 weeks solo traveling in Paris. And I spent a lot of money. And I would have been like, oh, my God, that's a lot. This is crazy. My guilt is really taking over, which I did feel sometimes. But also, I was like, I have not gone on a trip like this ever in my life. This is my first ever gift to myself after graduating with a 4.0 and like doing all the crazy stuff that I did in school. So I didn't feel as bad. And I know like now my priority is to travel because I'm still young, and also to have money left over for my business and expand that. And just those are my priorities right now. My priority is not buying property like right now. My priority is not saving up for a wedding. My priority is not like doing all that stuff right now. For a lot of people, that is their priority, and it's great to start saving early, but you kind of have to rank in your head or write down visually what your main priorities are. Obviously, saving up for a house, saving for a wedding if you want, are on your priority list, but think about what number one, number two, number three is, so that you have something to look forward to, and you also don't beat yourself up when you do spend money on that, you know?
All right, one thing that I want to talk about briefly, I want to make an episode on this because it's something I'm really passionate about, and I feel like more people should be passionate about it the way that I am, is budgeting for traveling / experiences. I know a lot of us want to travel. A lot of us want to just experience more outside in the world. But a lot of us think that this stuff costs so much. Like, I was hanging out with my cousins the other day, and they were supposed to go on a trip to Japan. But he recently got married, and he's like, yeah, man, I got to save all this money for, like, the wedding. And I don't know if I'll have, like, an extra couple, like, $4,000 or $5,000 for, like, the Tokyo trip for a week. And I'm like, $5,000 for a week in Tokyo? Either I'm dumb and delusional, or, like, people just don't realize that you do not need that much money to go travel. Like, Google Flights, you can find cheap-ass tickets anywhere in the world. Like, there are literally features that show you the cheapest tickets to everywhere in the world, depending on the time. Like, just for clarity, I went to Colombia on a $200 plane ticket, and I stayed there for, like, $800 a month, and every day I spent, like, less than $10, $15. And people see me in Colombia, or they'll see you somewhere, and it's like, yeah, some places cost more, but you do not need thousands and thousands of dollars to go travel.
And also, we're not buying our ticket like the second before our flight. Like, and we, like, buy it ahead of time.
Bro, I talk to people all the time that like talk about like specifically plane tickets to New York. I don't know if people like, I feel like people think the norm for like a plane ticket to New York is like $250, $300, $350. Bro, I just bought a plane ticket to New York for $120 with Delta.
Didn't you buy a ticket for like $90 once?
I've bought tickets to New York for like $50, $60. Like, dumb cheap.
Obviously, it depends from where you're coming from, but like, it really is not crazy, but still, depending like, on when you buy it.
Bro, like, if you want to travel and you're just scared about the money, I promise you, like, yes, you have to save. Like, I had to save. But it's like, it does not cost that much. Like, it breaks my heart when people are like, oh, I can only travel like once a year, because like it costs so much. I'm sure some places cost that much, but like, again, I want to make another episode on this because I got a lot to say. But it does not cost that much. Okay, if you have budget, if you have travel questions, please ask me, or just look online. There are so many tools and articles and just everything to show you that like it literally does not cost that much. You can save money for like if you don't spend a dollar for like a week, you'll have enough to travel for like a couple days. I promise you.
Yeah. I was just telling Mashoon how ChatGPT is like taking over the world right now. And I just saw a video yesterday of a girl who asked ChatGPT, if you guys don't know what that is, it's kind of like an AI website thing where you can ask this robot whatever you want and they give back like a, it's like a search engine and it gives back answers like a person. Kind of scary, but kind of cool too. So this girl asked ChatGPT, oh, how can I travel Europe? What cities can I go to? What food can I have? What excursions can I do? All under my $2,000 budget. And it gave like all these recommendations. So it's really cool how, you know, the internet works now. But I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit of the money financial literacy journal that I got from Papier and also some tips that I have. You know, first and foremost, we're talking a lot about saving money. We're talking a lot about budgeting. But like, I'm trying to think what your steps of priority should be, right? So obviously, your priorities at this age bracket could be travel or like saving up for a house or whatever it is. But your first step when you are trying to save money is to eliminate any debt that you have. So for example, if you get $2,000 every 2 weeks from your job, your money should go to your savings, your money should go to your bills. But also one of the first priorities that you should have is eliminating any debt that you have with credit card bills, any debt that you have with student loans, anything that's kind of on your shoulders and kind of weighing over you. Because the more you're trying to, you know, spend money on vacations, the more you're trying to just save the money and all this money is still kind of on your track record, the more that's just going to rise and rise and you're going to feel more anxious. So it's really important to, you know, be financially literate, but by first eliminating any debt that is weighing on you, because that can really just like follow you throughout your whole life. And it's so important to just like get rid of that when you can, and then you can finally be free and start saving without feeling stressed out, right? So your first priority should always be your student loans or your credit card debt or whatever it is, right? Get rid of that ASAP. Also, don't spend so much money on your credit card bills, on your credit card, where you can't pay it off later on, right? Like, be smart with it.
Yeah, don't go buy the new Toyota. Save money, but be smart with your payments. Don't go buy the new, you know, like, cherry blue blossom Crocs limited edition. Don't.
What is that?
You don't gotta go buy, like, the new, like, four set of tires for your Prius. You could just walk. Burn some calories.
Because this is Mashoon. This is Mashoon talking from experience. He did buy that.
You don't need a car. Just burn off all those Eid calories, you know?
Just walk.
Yeah.
But I got a book sent to me by Papier. And they have a lot of journals on their websites, a lot of notebooks. And I got, one of the books that I got is actually a finance money planner or a tracker. And it's really helpful. I'm looking through kind of like the contents of the book right now. And it's really cool because essentially in the first section of the book, you are kind of tracking your money. So for example, we just passed tax season. So in the first section, you're tracking how much money, if you have a stable income, if you have a 9-to-5, how much money you made last year, what your biggest expenses were. So again, you can check this in your banking apps or any other apps that you have like Mint or QuickBooks, and kind of like your yearly review, what you spent a lot of money on, what your priorities were last year, how much money you made, how much money you spent, if you borrowed any money, things like that. It's really important to keep track of that, especially every year to every few months. And then it's also important to write down your priorities, like what you're trying to spend money on, how much money you're spending on bills. So we already kind of talked about that. And then every other month or every month or so, obviously your priorities change. So for example, if I have a vacation coming up, maybe that's one of my priorities for 1 month. Mm-hmm. You know, write down every single month what your main priorities are. Maybe it's paying off student loans, paying off debt, and also vacation, or you're having a baby, I don't know, whatever it is. And then the book is kind of divided up into calendars and just like your notes app. It's kind of like a notes app, like what you spend money on, tracking all of your expenses. Again, this can be done through your apps or online or whatever it is. But I think it's really important to have a journal like this where you can just visually see where your money is going. And I think it's just, it's very calming for people like me who need to see things, you know, physically. So if you are looking for a little journal, I really recommend the papier one.
Yeah, good.
And you can customize. It says my little name on the wow. cover.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right. So as you guys know, we end our episodes with advice and questions from our lovely listeners and supporters on our Instagram. If you don't follow us on Instagram, what's the issue? Like, do you not want to send in your responses?
Difficult dish.
Follow us so you can give us, you know, some questions so you can be featured in the next episode.
Yeah,
if you don't follow us, then I guess you'll never be
you're
featured.
Missing out.
So we asked, you know, what questions you have about budgeting, what you do to budget, and just like any advice that you might want to give or if you want any advice. So the first one that we got, someone asked, I'm obsessed with treating myself when things go wrong. Now I'm broke and I don't know what to do. That's a big conundrum, huh?
Mm.
Like a lot of people have like these shopping habits, like these unhealthy shopping habits that where they cope and that's like their way of feeling better. Yeah. But I think I used to do that too. But I think one big thing is, especially in this world now where everything's fast fashion, you can get everything with Amazon Prime within like an hour or like the next day. My biggest rule of thumb is like, if I'm thinking about it, yeah, I can buy it instantly. But it's like, I sit with it for a little bit. Maybe I'll sit with it for like a day. And I think about like what I can use that for. Like, am I going to really use it long term? Is it going to be that helpful for me? And I just think about like back in the day, like in high school, would I really buy that? Like if I didn't have as much money as I do now, would I buy that instantly? Maybe I'd think about it a little bit more, you know? So I think it's really important to just sit with it for at least a day. I know there's a bigger rule of thumb where you sit with it for 30 days. I know people don't have that patience, but
long as
but really just think about it. Think about if it's going to bring you that much value. Like if you want a bubble tea, which is great. You know, sometimes we're craving bubble tea, but
bubble
do you really
guy.
Need it 2-3 times a day?
Yeah. I'm okay with that. You could do that.
Yeah, we know.
I think for me, it's all about value, and value doesn't always mean money. Like, for example, like I walked into GameStop the other day and I saw a Nintendo Switch and I was like, like I would like to have one, but like, and I saw it and I was like, you know, like I would like to have it and I can't afford it, but it's like, is it worth the value? Like, what is the value?
Yeah.
The value isn't the like monetary, is like, what value am I getting out of it? Okay. Yeah. I'm getting some fun. I'm getting some joy. I'm getting some excitement, but like, is it enough to like, for me to like actually care about, like, am I getting that much? My answer was no. So like, I'm still impulsive with certain things, but like, there's a lot of things that we feel like are impulsive decisions, but like they're actually not. Like there are things that like I'm really impulsive with, like a pair of shoes I'll probably be really impulsive with, or like I was like the last pair of shoes I bought, I was really impulsive with it, and like I could have gotten a better deal, but I was like, I want them right now. That was my mistake. But there's a lot of things that's like, again, like sit with it and like really realize what is like the value of it. If it's valuable, whatever, get it. And like, you know, if it is valuable to you, you will be okay. You should be okay with like the consequences of getting it. So if it really means that much to you, you can't complain about being broke. You made that decision. You know, like if it wasn't that valuable to you, you wouldn't have gotten it. You wouldn't felt better, you know. So
all right. So someone said, how to mentally deal with your first traffic ticket when you're already struggling to budget. So these are so my brother does this thing where like he'll make a mistake, right? He'll get a traffic ticket, or he bought something like a pair of shoes for too much money. He'll do this thing where like he'll do payments where he's paying it off slowly. Like,
well, that's fine.
It could even be something small.
You don't gotta make
it
fun
can
of
be,
that.
But
I know he did it for like a pair of Crocs.
I'm
like
not making
$7
fun
payments.
Of that, but I'm not making fun of that, but I'm saying like he does it for almost every single thing. So really, it's like you're paying off like $500 a month for like small things every, you know. So it's like you might as well just pay it off.
Yeah, man. A lot of time, like just get it over with. Like rip the band-aid off. Just do it.
Yeah.
But I think one thing I've learned is like, man, you can't run from the law. You know, like if you get a traffic ticket, there's no point in waiting it off because you are literally gonna have to pay for it. Because if you don't pay for it, then like, come time to like renew your license, you can't renew your license because you got a traffic ticket 6 years ago. Now you got to pay for that. Now it's triple the price. You can't run from the law. Okay, that's one thing that like,
unless you try to fight it,
whatever. But yeah, man, and also it's like it's cliche, but like you really have to do that to realize that you should never do that again. You know, like, I've gotten so many, like, running red light tickets to where, like, I'm, like, extra safe now. Like, after, like, the third one, I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. I'm going to stop speeding at red lights. You know, so, like...
Yeah, New York City is crazy with the traffic cameras now. Yeah. All right, so the last one that we got from our friend Radia, they wrote, I try to tell myself that budgeting is about what I can say yes to rather than no. I really like that. Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a mindset thing.
You know, maybe put like a cap on, you know, the hangouts that you have every single week. Like, just think about what your values are. Like, if you are just trying to eat out maybe once a week and you're constantly getting asked to hang out, you're Miss Popular, right? Maybe think about what you can say yes to, what you can say no to. Have like that weekly budget that you can actually, you know, attach yourselves to. And sometimes I'll just pick cheaper alternatives, which a lot of people have a negative outlook on. But I think cheaper alternatives are also so much fun. Like me going to an art cafe and doing some clay making, which can be, you know, on the cheaper end, which is like $20-something. But again, I have some fun time with a friend. I went to the other day, I mean, living in New York City, there are a lot of cheap alternatives as well, you know. So I went to this free like Strangers Project where I read a lot of strangers' notes and things, and it was completely free. I don't drink, so I don't spend $550 on drinks every single week, you know? Drinks are crazy in New York City, especially alcoholic. Mm-hmm. But anyway, just think about what your values are and think about what you can say yes and no to. And that doesn't mean you have to be alone. That doesn't mean you have to be, you know, a nun, like not spending any money. You can still have fun. Just think about how you can be smarter, you know? I have a huge budgeting video on my YouTube. I have a YouTube. What I spend in a week on my YouTube. I have a lot of finance videos if you want to watch that.
She does. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Good.
10-second advice, huh? You got?
10-second advice. I'm going to say it again because it's just important, man. Like, please just go thrifting. Like, I'm wearing a pair of, like, Carhartt, like, khaki pants right now. Online, there are $120. I bought these for $11. I spent 10% of what it costs at the store. The same model, exact same thing. 10%. Please go thrifting. Like, please, this is not a drill. Please go thrifting.
That's facts. I got so many good vintage finds for such a cheaper price thrifting, and also just I'm so much more sustainable. I have my own style now. You know, I don't fit with the herd.
Oh wow, you look like a herd.
My 10 second advice is, obviously we have this whole episode on saving money, budgeting, but also it's fine to splurge once in a while. It's fine to be selfish once in a while with your money. Obviously we're not constantly like putting our pennies together and putting it all in the savings account. We splurge once in a while, and that's fine. Do what's good for your happiness, but also be smart with it, you know. All right, I hope you guys like this saving episode. We tried our best. Make sure to listen to the first episode, which is investing and 401ks and taxes and all that from your favorite South Asian Bangladeshi American artist. We hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please comment. What should they comment in our Friday post?
I don't know. What do we talk about? Comment,
comment the money bag emoji.
No, that's too easy. I want y'all to comment a pair of jeans, you know, for the thrifting. I want to see some jeans. Right, just in the comments.
Jeans. Yeah, let's see some jeans.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on our Instagram and TikTok. We love you guys. And Allah Hafiz. Bye.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.